How can you overcome anxious thoughts about the future and stop thinking about the past?
How can you stop worrying about the future and regretting your past mistakes?
This is Bob Boyd.
And Jerry Boyd.
This is Issues in Education. You can break free of repeating old patterns of thinking to become free in Christ, to enjoy your life much, much more in the present. You really can change your life by changing your thoughts. Our guest, Dr. Lee Warren, is a practicing neurosurgeon and author of The Life-Changing Act, get this, of Self-Brain Surgery, in which he says you can make actual structural changes in your brain so that you're less depressed, less anxious, and more healthy, happier, and hopeful simply by eliminating destructive thinking and substituting them with new beneficial thoughts that rewire your brain.
And he differentiates between the spiritual mind and the brain. Dr. Lee Warren was interviewed by Dr. Ben Carson on his podcast called Common Sense with Dr. Ben Carson. Dr. Carson also is a neurosurgeon and former director of pediatric surgery at Johns Hopkins Hospital, and he's the author of Gifted Hands, and he later served as U.S. Secretary of HUD.
Dr. Ben Carson, why do you say the human brain is so amazing?
I spent years operating on and studying the human brain, and I believe it's truly one of the most fascinating things in the world. It can process more than 2 million bits of information in 1 second, contains billions of neurons, remembers everything you've ever seen, everything you've ever heard. God has given this incredible tool to us for a reason, because he expects us to use it and to apply logic to joyful living and find answers to questions, and most importantly, to seek him and to know him. But how do we care for and use our minds well when trials come, when we lose a loved one or face a horrendous diagnosis? How do we take care of our minds and control our thoughts in a world of negative news, busyness, and chaos?
That's absolutely fascinating, Dr. Carson, that with the billions of neurons that we can process, get this, more than 2 million bits of information in just 1 second. Dr. Lee Warren says God has made our brains to conform to our thought patterns so we can choose to change our brains by changing our thought patterns. Dr. Warren, you call it brain surgery, self-brain surgery.
Yes, sir. Interestingly, 21st century neuroscience is teaching us, as Scripture has said all along, that you really can actively change what your brain is structurally, and the thing that drives that change is the stuff we think about. So that means that we have this ability to change what we think about. The Bible calls that taking your thoughts captive, calls it renewing the mind in Romans 12:2. This idea that if you change the stuff you think about, your brain will become a different brain. And we know now that that means it has a new neurochemical environment, that you don't have to be as anxious or depressed or stressed as you were. When you decide to take God seriously, take your thoughts captive, change what you think about, you create a new brain. It's very countercultural, but it gives us hope.
That's right. Neuroscience is proving Scripture right. By taking every thought captive, we can really become new creatures in Christ, and it structurally can change our brains. Neuroscience also shows that prayer, spending time with God, can give us much more peace no matter what our circumstances are. And when we're praying to God, think of it, the Holy Spirit prays through us, and Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father, and he's our advocate. So, I mean, that is prayer power.
That's right.
People who practice prayer and meditation for up to 10 minutes a day, they scan them before and they scan them after a six-week period of that practice, and the hippocampus, the part of the brain responsible for emotional regulation, peace, and all those kinds of things, got 22% bigger in 6 weeks of prayer and meditation. So that means literally when you pray, when you engage with God, he makes your brain better able to handle hardship and stress. And this is why the psychologists keep proving it. When they look at people who have spiritual practices in their lives, they handle things more efficiently. They don't have less trouble, but they handle it better. God has designed our brains to get better when we take him seriously and we focus on what he says.
That's right. As you said, brain scans show that God has designed our brains to get 22% better when we pray for up to 10 minutes a day for 6 weeks. Our hippocampus gets bigger. That's the part of the brain that's associated with learning and memory, pleasure and joy, and it helps us cope with stress and depression.
Paul says, pray continually. Jesus said, pray continually. Dr. Warren, your faith and surgical practice was really put to an extreme test when you did hundreds of brain surgeries on wounded soldiers and terrorists while you were under the constant bombardment of rocket fire on the front line in the Iraq War.
And when I went to the Iraq War and I survived 100 mortar and rocket attacks, I pretty quickly learned that I couldn't control everything. When you're outside caught in a mortar attack and you're going to live if you don't get hit and you're going to die if you do get hit, you don't have any control over that. It's not the things we go through. It's our response to those things that determines what the quality and course of our life looks like. And that's what Scripture's there for. Scripture says that you're going to have trouble in this world, but I've overcome it. Jesus says the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I've come that you might have abundance. All these experiences that I was having, and that there's only really one path to true peace and freedom, and that's to trust Jesus that whatever you go through, he can use it to help you find your purpose and help other people.
That's right. The people that face death with a strong faith and a close relationship with Christ can face death much easier than those who have no faith at all. It's not so much what we're going through, but how we respond to the circumstance. We can handle the most extreme difficulties better than those who have no faith.
When you think about tragedy and loss and bad times in your life, what is that against the backdrop of eternity?
That's right.
Less than a nanosecond. That kind of perspective often gives you the strength to weather your way through it all.
Yes, sir. We were invited to go down and watch some of this functional MRI research. So my wife and I went down and we were in the control room of this fancy multi-million-dollar functional MRI scanner that can look at what the brain is doing instead of just what the brain looks like. So you can see what parts of the brain are active when you're thinking or moving. You see what chemical things are happening, what transmitters are happening. And they had this woman in there with headphones on and they said, Mrs. Johnson, think about the worst moment of your life. So she thought of something, and then we saw her brain change. Her functional imaging basically shows you what parts of the brain are getting blood flow. So the more blood flow, the more the brain's doing in that area. And they said, think about this worst day of your life, and the fear center, the amygdala, lit up pretty quickly in response to whatever it was that she thought. Her heart rate went up, and her blood pressure went up, and her respiratory rate went up. Her vital signs changed. I saw with my eyes, and again, I'm a trained practicing neurosurgeon, so I'm raised up in this traditional neuroscience worldview that brain creates what we think of as mind. And so here I'm looking at this woman and I see what her brain state is, and they tell her to think something different than she was thinking, and I see her brain state change in response to that. With my eyes, I see this happen. And then I see her body change. And then they said, okay, now stop thinking about that, Mrs. Johnson, and start thinking about the best day of your life, the happiest memory you can muster. Again, she sort of furled up her brow and you saw her think. And then her amygdala calmed down, her frontal lobes came online, the different parts of her brain that are involved in emotional processing of happier things. And then her physiology changed in response to that. Her blood pressure came down, her heart rate came down, her respiratory rate came down. We saw again this sequence. I saw it with my eyes. Mind changing brain, which is changing body. And I had this moment of insight. I think it's, I'm a spiritual guy, but I think it's spiritual, where I had this insight. When you change what you're thinking about, you're making structural changes in your brain for the purpose of changing your life in some way. When you change your thoughts, it's not some mystical metaphysical thing that's happening. It's a structural thing. Your brain is producing neurotransmitters in different proportions than it was before. And then your body is physiologically reacting, which means that hormones are activating glands. It means that blood vessels are constricting or relaxing. Like, stuff is happening that's real. It's not metaphorical. It's actual physical things that are happening in response to the brain changing in response to the mind changing what it was doing. And so I saw this sequence of mind to brain to body, and I realized that when I perform actual brain surgery on people, on my patients, what I'm doing is I'm intentionally making a structural change in their brain for the purpose of improving their life in some way. And so it just hit me. This is the same thing. Like, it's literally, you can choose to perform surgery on your own brain when you decide to think about one thing and not another thing.
We can do brain surgery on our own brains without a scalpel or anesthesia, but simply changing our thought patterns.
It's not some sort of self-help gimmick. It's like you're literally in possession of a process that drives the way your brain forms itself structurally and the way it performs its functions anatomically and physiologically, and that changes your body. And so that means I realized in that moment, I've spent a month now grieving my son in a particular way and thinking about my future in a way that says it's dark, it's hopeless, 80% of marriages fall apart after they lose a child. I'm thinking all these thoughts all day long, and I saw in my mind in that moment that I've been writing programs that my brain's going to start executing that are going to start filtering for these things to become true. And if I want my future to look different than that, I'm going to have to think about this event of losing my son in a different way than I have been thinking about it. Because if I want my brain to do something other than this hopeless spiral of grief and doom and pain and forecasting catastrophe into the future, I've got to think about this differently, because that's the mechanism I'm seeing of how you change your brain and how you change your body. And so I came up with this term self-brain surgery because it described exactly what is happening in your brain when you choose to direct your thoughts from one way to another way. And so for the last 13 years, I've been writing and speaking and trying to basically explain how it is that we can go through something hard and have it not put us in the ditch or not wreck our marriage or not destroy our business. How is it that we can change the way we think about something that we've been thinking about for a long time in a particular way? How do people change their patterns of behavior that have been true for their family? How do we change these generational issues of my dad was an alcoholic, his dad was an alcoholic, his dad was an alcoholic, everybody in my family hits their kids when they're mad. And even when they have bad outcomes, they continue to reinforce those identifying beliefs and those patterns of behavior, even when the outcomes are not helping them. That it doesn't have to be that way, because you can change what your brain does as soon as you're willing to change what you think about all the time.
So change your life by changing the way you think about yourself. As an ambassador for Christ, when Satan comes knocking at your door, just ask Jesus to answer it. Scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the old, fearful, and regretful thoughts. You're a new creation. Think about things that are pure, lovely, excellent, and think about Jesus. Substitute tempting thoughts or angry thoughts or depressing thoughts with thoughts about Jesus helping you through the circumstance you're going through.
Think about things that are above, and always remember that Jesus Christ is praying for you in heaven. How wonderful is that? As Paul wrote, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving to God, let your requests be made known, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will mount guard over your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So it's casting all your care and worry on God, because he cares for you.
And my wife said, hey, that reminds me of Philippians 4. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, it says if you don't want to be anxious, be grateful instead. Like think about this thing and not that thing, and you'll feel better. And I started thinking, and God sort of revealed this idea to me at that moment. If you want to feel different than you feel right now about Mitch, you're going to have to change the things you're thinking about. You're going to have to change the perspective of what you're looking at and how you're looking at this, and believe that it can be different someday. And what I saw that day is when we change our thought processes, we are choosing intentionally to change our brains to try to help us. Philippians 4 says, don't be anxious for anything, but with everything be grateful, and the peace of God will fill your hearts and minds. Guard your hearts and minds. So if you're looking for some way to guard your heart and your mind, you got to change the perspective of the things that you're thinking about. And my faith came back, because I saw the only path to peace is to use God's design. It's for our healing, to use the fact that our brains are actually designed to get better when they go through hard things. And it gets stronger when you make yourself do hard things. Choose to get out of bed when you don't feel like it, when you choose not to drink alcohol and go for a run instead. You make yourself do something hard. My brain learns at getting better across the board. Romans 5:3-5, which says suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And it just all came together for me. Like, okay, your brain is neurologically wired to improve your ability to go through hard things. But to do that, you have to go through hard things. And so it's not a catastrophe when you go through something catastrophic. God will use his design for your brain to help you navigate it in a way that turns you into the kind of person with the character who can go through hard things. And that gives you hope, because sadly, none of us just go through one hard thing. Every one of them, God uses to prepare you for the next one. And then something amazing happens. You know, Viktor Frankl wrote about the concentration camps, and he said, if somebody can find purpose in their suffering, it stops feeling like suffering. And this amazing thing happened to me and Lisa because people started coming to us and saying, hey, how did you get through losing your son? Because I just lost mine. Or how did you get through this problem in your marriage? I just lost my wife. And we would say, wait a minute. People are asking us questions about how to use what we've been through because it's going to help them. And that started to create purpose. And it started to show me that Mitch's death wasn't in vain, that it was tragic and was horrible, but I could still make something of his life mean something in the future. And it didn't have to just be this meaningless loss. And so all of a sudden, I came alive in my faith, and it helped me navigate that hardship. And now that's my mission and my purpose. Because you and I, we're not just here to be neurosurgeons. We're here to help people figure out what's hurting them and what to do about it.
That's amazing. If you were sitting in a room and the tiger walked in, think about all the physiological things that would happen. Your heart rate would go up, your blood pressure would go up, your pupils would dilate, your bladder would constrict, all kinds of things would happen. But if someone immediately told you, that's Buddy, the tiger, he's completely friendly, all those things start
to go away.
And he never touched you, which gives credence to exactly what you were saying. But what if you're always in a state of anxiety? Think about what it does physiologically to your body, to your brain. So we have a lot to do with the way that we react, control the environment that we put in rather than let the environment control you. And that's, I think, the reason that God gave us these amazing brains.
Yeah. God has designed our brains not to keep us in a state of fear all the time. But once you start directing those thought processes instead, then you train your brain to become more hopeful and oriented towards decision-making and choice instead of fear and running away, that fight or flight thing. The untrained default mode network is intensely self-focused, which means that you sit around and you think about all the different ways that you got passed over or messed up or somebody did something wrong to you in the past or all the ways that things are not going to work out for you in the future. That's what most of us do most of the time. But what God says is, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. That's Romans 12:2. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what's the pattern of this world? Is believe your own truth and find your own way. And what God says is, no, reject that, because that's going to build you a brain that's going to keep you afraid and stuck. It's going to keep you anxious. It's going to keep you stressed. Because outside of you, the target keeps changing. If you think somebody has to change or do something for you to be happy, they're never going to be enough for you to really be happy. The target will always move. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is kind of a two-part promise. He's saying, I will change you into something that you weren't before. I'll make you new. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, I've given you the mind of Christ. So you're not in this alone. It's not self-reliance because God's in there with you. He says, I'll give you a mind that will rewrite your brain in a way that helps you become more resilient and more hope-oriented in spite of the fact that you're going to go through hard things, because we keep remaking the same brain over and over if you keep thinking the same thoughts over and over. Mm-hmm. But the design is that we take that captive. That's what 2 Corinthians 10:5 says. The design is you be in charge of your brain, and it will respond by creating an automatic brain that works more in your favor. And what you'll start finding is that when you're under pressure, you start having a better reaction to it than you did before. Our responses get better, our choices get better, and we become more hopeful.
That's good. As Romans 12 says, God tells us not to be conformed to the pattern of this world. The pattern of this world will keep you fearful and stressed because you only have yourself, that God won't help you. And that creates a brain that keeps you stuck and afraid in fear and anxiety. Instead, be confident in Christ and filled with a Holy Spirit joy that God is helping you.
Jesus is preparing the way for you. Since God is for you, who can be against you? Nobody can overpower God Almighty. So repeat, Jesus is helping me. He lives in me. I don't need to be afraid or feel guilty about past mistakes. The blood of Jesus Christ covers me, takes away all my sins. Jesus will work out all the things of my life for my good. As Romans 8:28 says, we know God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Isn't that wonderful? All the bad things, the crummy things, the mistakes, he's going to work everything for good for those who love him.
Yeah, that should give you hope.
That's fascinating. Now, would that extend to someone who has an addiction?
Yes, sir. Addiction is this trick that we play on ourselves that says that we're going to get some helpful neurotransmitters if we engage in this act or ingest this substance. If we want to break addiction, is we have to get a different set of thoughts. So what I really want is that calm sense that I get from alcohol. So we have to interrupt the cycle and say, no, if I want the reward of feeling better, being more calm, not being as stressed, I need to change the way I'm getting that neurotransmitter release. So my brain learns that the way to get real joy is by engaging the system in the correct way. So again, it comes down to the decision of what you're going to think about, because what you think about turns into what you do. So all the behavior that gets us in trouble starts with the things we're thinking about. Be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It starts with redeeming and changing what you're thinking about all the time by choosing to get the reward in the right way. That knowing that God has designed your nervous system to get better when it goes through hard things, as long as you're willing to take your thoughts captive. Those are the two components of that. You can avoid suffering, but you can choose to use that suffering to engage that Romans 5 little engine of suffering producing endurance and character and ultimately hope. And so if you can press through hard things, if you can believe God has designed your nervous system in a way that will help you get better over time and not worse, in order to really grow and change, you need some hardship. God says in Isaiah 48:10, I've refined you in the furnace of suffering. And so if you can see yourself as going through the furnace and it's going to make you better in some way, you'll become more emotionally resilient, more able to handle hardship. You'll begin to trust that you can navigate through things and get towards a hope landing at some point.
We can't avoid suffering, but we can use suffering to our benefit. As Romans 5 says, we rejoice in our sufferings because we know suffering produces perseverance, character, and hope. That's how Christians have suffered crucifixion, torture, and even death, because we know God is giving us an eternity of joy. God says in Isaiah 48, I have refined you through the furnace of affliction.
God has designed your brain to get better when you go through tough experiences, as long as you're willing to take your thoughts captive. So it's not getting self-preoccupied again and focusing on yourself. You focus on Jesus and what he did. Always focus on Jesus and his obedience.
That's good. If you see suffering as making you more confident in Christ, deeper in your faith, so you become more resilient to hardships and trials, to become who God wants you to be for eternity. Dr. Ben Carson, you gave an excellent illustration about a young man who had a terminal brain cancer, a glioblastoma, but he survived for a long time because his brain was resilient and he was very hopeful.
I remember once a young man, he was a basketball player, he had a glioblastoma. I operated on him, and we expected him to have the same course that everybody with a glioblastoma has, but he kept coming back year after year. He was doing fine, and everybody was saying, what's going on with this kid? And then, you know, he got engaged to be married, had a very positive outlook on things, and then his fiance dumped him.
Ugh.
He got so depressed, he was dead in 3 weeks.
Wow.
The way that you think can affect your immune system, can affect all the systems of your body. And having a positive outlook makes all the difference in the world.
Absolutely.
The power of the mind, to a degree, will keep us healthy or lower our resistance to disease. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. A person's inner thoughts and beliefs define our character and our actions and ultimately our reality and our destiny.
And I've had cancer twice. We don't want to condemn anybody that has cancer thinking, oh, it's your bad thoughts. Because, I mean, things do happen. This is a sinful world and it's a fallen world. So no condemnation here.
I think the most important one is understanding that the experience you have of life to a very large degree depends on your expectations and the things that you set your brain to filter for. So I start with a morning quiet time every day and very diligently get up at whatever time I need to get up to make sure that I have an hour to read the Word of God, to put some good thoughts in my heart and in my mind, to do some worship music and get myself in a prayerful posture, knowing that that's going to help me activate my emotional resilience and all of that. This is interesting, but your brain actually doesn't know the difference between something that's really happening, like your tiger example earlier, or something that you're just imagining. And so if you plan your day out and think, okay, when I'm in this meeting with this person, I tend to get triggered, I get mad, and I say something I shouldn't say, and I get fired, or I get called to HR or whatever, or when I'm in the OR and I'm under stress, I yell at my nurse or whatever. If you think down that path of what your day is going to look like, you can tell your brain, okay, when I'm in this environment and they say this thing, I'm going to respond instead with kindness, or I'm going to choose this thing or that thing. And your brain then, when you're actually under that stress, will run the play that you have pre-programmed it to run more automatically. So that it ended up being a positive blessing for other people instead of a reactive sort of destructive force. And for me, that really helps.
We've been listening to Dr. Lee Warren. Dr. Warren starts each day with the Lord in prayer and reading the Word. To get your mind set on the eternal things, the biblical pattern of thinking. So we decide to think about the peace of Christ and the kindness Jesus demonstrated in giving his life for us so we can restructure our brain, develop that eternal view, and escape being harassed by the past or worrying about the future.
If you would like a CD copy of today's program, please ask from number 1992, Transforming Your Brain. That's number 1992, Transforming Your Brain. You can order a CD copy of this program or download a podcast from our website at issuesineducation.org. That's issuesineducation.org. Or for a CD, please call us at 928-776-0000. That's 928-776-0000. From Hebrews 12, verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For Issues in Education, this has been Bob and Jerry Boyd.